All right, please be seated. Thank you very much. Blessed to be back here again. Speak Life. That might have to be my new title this morning. I want to read something to you. It's kind of cute. I'm sure you've heard it before. It says, "Dear Lord, so far I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. Haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm really glad about that. But in a few minutes, Lord, I'm going to get out of bed. From then on, I'm going to need a whole lot of help." Kind of cute, huh? Yeah, this morning, we're going to be talking about words. Ooh, words do a lot of different things, don't they? We can talk about the impact words have on us all day long, good or bad, because I think we know the significance of words and what words can do to others and ourselves. Words can build up, tear down, inspire, instruct, demand, beg, plead, question, answer, inquire. On and on the list goes. I'm going to read you a few statements here, see if you know them. Oh, say can you see by the... Oh, I guess you know that one. Okay, how about this one? Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can... You know that one too. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Louis Armstrong, when he first stepped foot on the moon back in 1969. Oh, these are, I'm sure you won't know this one. Vanished into thin air. My goodness. How about this one? Dead as a doornail. What's done is wild goose chase. Do I have another one? Oh, how about this one? Come what may. I'm sure you're not going to know this one. 47 years ago, what document was that? Gettysburg Address, Abraham Lincoln. Okay, I got a couple more. Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country, JFK. Famous words of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. How about this one? It is finished. What impact have those words have had on you? Three little words, it is finished. What was Jesus Christ talking about? His accomplished work. Every sickness, every disease, every physical ailment, every mental trouble, anything you can possibly think of is all wrapped up in this very simple yet probably the most powerful statement ever spoken by the most famous man on earth. Even those who don't believe know the name Jesus Christ. These are powerful statements, and somehow we've retained these words and know them instantaneously, where they're from and who spoke them, without even thinking about them. Because they've had such a profound impact on our hearts and our minds, and that's the power of what words do. You know, some of you sadly have, you know, grown up in an environment where words were not used in the most appropriate or loving fashion. Maybe your caregivers expected you to become a certain thing or act a certain way. That happens all the time, sadly. What if the person you looked up to the most would say things like, "You'll never amount to anything"? You know, for a young person, that's such a gut to the punch. Punch to the gut. Oops, see, words get twisted sometimes. That is such a punch to the gut for a young person to hear something like that, because it programs someone to really believe it. And as that person gets older, if they don't address that thing right away, that's what they're going to become. So the more you believe something about life for yourself, you will act accordingly. I want to primarily look at this verse right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, because words are so dynamically important. Like I mentioned, words can do all sorts of things, good or bad, offend, heal. They can encourage, they can strengthen, and they can also cause discouragement. They can cause failure and defeat. They can do a lot of things. But there's a good thing to know and be aware of. We are in control of the words that we speak. The unfortunate truth is that words are nearly impossible to take back. Let's say Al and I have a discussion and I decide to break Al's arm. Well, chances are Al's arm is going to heal and he'll probably forgive me for it. Maybe, I hope. Right, Al? Of course he would. But if I say something to Al that really cuts deep to his heart, chances are he's not going to forget about it. Yes, he may forgive me for saying those words, but words are very hard to forget. Because once they're spoken, they are out there in the world for all of those who are around to hear and to remember. Just like I'm doing now. I've got a thought, I've got thoughts, and I'm finding language to express those thoughts. Can't take them back. So it's very important to understand who's around you and who is in fact listening. Bend carefully. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Let's read it here. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. I was going to title this morning sharing using words wisely, but I think I'm going to call it Speak Life after that incredible song that Jeffrey so amicably selected. I don't know about you, but I've experienced hardships before. I've had financial stress, poor health, relationship struggles with others, frustration. In the places that I've worked, I'll call it upper management stupidity. And other types of personal disappointments. But the list of these difficult moments seems to be endless. But at some point, every man and woman on this earth has gone through the process of wondering if they were going to really make it out or make it through that difficult event that they were facing. And I guarantee that every person seated in this room has been in that position. Is there any hope? Is there a way out? Is there a light at the end of the tunnel? I can't take it anymore. I want to read this letter, the Church of Thessalonica, just in this verse here. I'm going to go back to it. But understand that Paul is writing by revelation from God, words that were given to him, to this church, that we're at a time really needed these words. They were the exact ones that were needed at that given time, because these guys were facing very particular adversities in their lives. This church obviously really needed to be encouraged and needed to be strengthened and comforted. But Paul said one thing. He said to do it for one another. So let's take a look at that verse one more time. It says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. These people were in a desperate place. Many of them were beaten and prosecuted beyond belief because of their faith and their stand with Christ. Thankfully, you and I get to sit here or stand here week after week without persecution of standing on the Word of God. But these people were in a really desperate spot here. But what does Paul mean when he says, comfort one another? I'm not a Greek scholar, but I'm going to do my best here. The Greek word for comfort is parakaleo. And its primary meaning is to comfort, encourage, and use consoling words, especially in times of difficulty or grief. It can also be used in a militaristic sense of a commanding officer exhorting his truth before going into battle. Knowing that a serious conflict lies ahead of them, the commanding officer uses words to stir and strengthen the troops before they march off into the field. Similarly, just like a coach giving his players a little pep talk, either before the game or maybe even at halftime, as they go out onto the field. Some pretty remarkable speeches have been made at that time to kind of raise the level of expectation and inspiration. You know, in the Old Testament Greek translation, the word parakaleo is used in a similar fashion, meaning to bring comfort, show compassion, to encourage, to support, and to strengthen. And it happens to be used a total of 109 times. Forgot to use this word over and over and over again. There must be some level of significance to it, huh? You know, when Paul told the church of Thessalonica to comfort one another, he's also giving us instruction too. These are seven church epistles that are written to the church of the body in this administration of grace in which you and I live. Seven church epistles: Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Seven church epistles. And God is the one who is telling us to give encouragement to those who are around us that really need it. Those who are in the midst of a battle are the ones who especially need strengthening or support, or maybe even just a supportive presence. You know, Paul urges us to hearten them, to cheer them up, to give them some kind of boost that will help them make it further along the way. Sometimes that comfort may be speaking words that stir up or edify somebody's heart and their strength. Just like the military, for those here who have put in years of service, what about this? What about a silent, strengthening presence? I call it quiet strength. Sometimes the most effective way to comfort someone is by not saying a word at all, and just by listening. Probably why God gave us two ears and one mouth, or one of the reasons. Because we must never forget that the mere presence at times of a friend or a companion can bring great comfort to our hearts. And here's a powerful statement. There are those that will hear you speak 1,000 words and still not understand you. And there are those that understand you when you don't say a single word. And those are the people that we tend to hold close the most. The people that really understand our hearts. But anyways, back to this verse in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul uses another word, and that word is edify. So what exactly is that? That's not really a word that we tend to use in our everyday vocabulary. But the word edify, I'm going to do my best with this Greek word, the word edify is a translation of the Greek word oikodomeo. That sounds about right. Which is a compound of oikos and demu. The word oikos is the word for a house, and demu is the word for construction. When they are compounded, the new word describes the enlarging of a house as well as all that is entailed in the building process. So to add to a house or a building, one must plan ahead, implement ideas, use instruments, and make a sizable investment. Basically, this word describes a deliberate decision as building a house. Have you ever seen a house that was added or built without a plan? It doesn't last very long. It usually just crumbles down to the ground. It usually looks like a house that was just built without any foresight at all. So therefore, when Paul exhorted us to edify one another in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, he was telling us to be very deliberate about how we encourage others. Our actions, our words, and anything else we put forth should encourage and build people up. That is, add to them, advance them, augment them, enhance them, or improve them in some way. Not the opposite. So we should put great effort into making other people's lives richer, fuller, and better. Because that's what we need to. Sometimes, some of the greatest deliverance that we can bring to ourselves is by ministering, speaking life into others. You ever notice that? I mean, some of the greatest healers that people have ever heard of, there were things going on with them. So really something. But Paul was not asking for occasional, accidental, haphazard edification. He was requesting a full, thought-out plan that occurs with great deliberation. So Paul is saying, comfort one another and build each other up. These two ideas, comfort and edify, they work hand in hand together. Comfort touches the hurting heart. Edification strengthens the whole person to keep moving forward. So another way of putting it is to build somebody up. It's easy to find ourselves in a place where our words either build a house or burn one down. There's no in between. Every interaction you have with someone is like adding a brick to the structure of their life. The question is, are we laying bricks to build their strength? Or are we carelessly throwing bricks that could break them? Sometimes these things happen without even us thinking about it. And that's why words are so powerful. Because they could do a whole lot of damage or a whole lot of good. But Paul understood this. And that's why in a time where, you know, the believers were frightened, persecuted, and unsure of what tomorrow would hold, he didn't tell them to fight each other, blame each other, or compete with each other. He said, comfort and edify one another. You know, today, we live in a world where criticism is easy and encouragement is rare. All you got to do is turn on the news. It's easy to complain. It's easy to gossip. It's easy to tear down. But it takes strength. It takes the heart, like God's, to build up and to consistently do so. Sometimes it's as simple as telling someone you matter. You're doing better than you think you are. I'm proud of you. God is not finished with you yet. Just a few simple words of encouragement can be the very tool God uses to build someone's confidence back up, to help someone take one more step on a very hard road. This Proverbs 18:21, who knows that one? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Think about that. Death and life. Opposites. Complete opposites. There's no comparison between opposites. What you say today, even something that might seem small to you, could bring either death or life to someone's heart. Maybe you've been on the receiving end of that kind of death. Maybe someone spoke words over you that made you feel worthless, forgotten, stupid, unlovable. The list really doesn't end. Let me tell you something. That's you. If that's ever happened to you at all, let me tell you one thing. Those words were lies. Because you are loved. You are chosen. You are precious in the eyes of God. And no human voice, no human voice gets the final say of how you view yourself. Because we have been judged in Christ, holy and without blame. What more can you ask for? So today, let's make it our goal to use our words with wisdom. Before we speak, let's ask, will this comfort or will this confuse? Will this build or will this break? Will this bring life or death? You know, sometimes we don't know what to say. That's all right. You know, the human mind is very limited in its capacity to decipher the right decision to make at times. That's okay. That just comes with living in the five senses. Sometimes the best thing we can do, though, is to not say anything at all and just be there. A hand on a shoulder, a look that says, I see you, you are not alone, you are God's best. That's it. That's real ministry. And that's the heart of God at work through us. Comfort one another, edify one another. Use your words with wisdom. And when necessary, use your silence with wisdom too. You'll suppose that Jesus Christ probably went through these same dilemmas too in his life and in his ministry. He was also a man. He wasn't immune to emotions and thoughts and feelings. But he was able to really tap in to what God wanted him to do. He did the Father's will. He would always go to the Father, to his Father, and ask what the right thing to do was. Worked every time. And that's why Christ is our example. Always remember this. The encouraging word can change a person's whole day. One encouraging word can change a person's whole life. I mean, that lady at Agape now, who knows? Who knows what her life is going to be like now? Proverbs 25. I got to find it. Proverbs chapter 25. Psalms, Proverbs. Here we go. There's Proverbs. Here we go. Proverbs 25:11 in the book of Proverbs. It says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Apples of gold in pictures of silver. Kind of reminds me at the school where I teach at, I'm working with the kids on Shakespeare. And I really instruct them to really find the imagery. Because when somebody reads this verse, it's probably very easy to kind of read over it and say, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. The word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. What incredible imagery. A word spoken at the right time and in the right way is valuable and beautiful. Like a golden apple, carefully framed in silver. And it's not just what we say, it's how and when we say it. Sometimes, not even about having the most eloquent words. It's about having a heart aligned with God so that the words fit the moment, strengthening and healing exactly when they're needed the most. Proverbs 15. A lot of verses in Proverbs that instruct us how to react or respond to different situations. Proverbs 15, verse 23. Says, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth and a word spoken in due season. How good is it? A word in due season. The right word at the right time. The right word spoken at the very exact time that they're needed. You know, that can literally turn despair into hope, sadness into joy, weakness into strength. Your mouth, guided by the Spirit of God, can be a fountain of life to someone else. Proverbs 16, next chapter over, verse 24. Sure you know this one too. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant words are healing. Not just emotionally, but spiritually and physically as well. When you speak comfort and encouragement, you are bringing health into another person's life. On the flip side, you know, on the opposite end, harsh words, anger, constant negativity can eat away at someone like a disease. I bet we're all guilty of that. You know, as humans, we're not immune to emotions, especially now. The way we handle our emotions is probably a lot more severe than the people did way back then. Just guessing. I mean, take a look at Christ, although he was the Son of God. We say things, we hurt, we offend. That's why God really encourages us to watch what we say. Because words can do a whole lot of things, but if they're used in the correct manner, they could keep somebody alive. Quite literally. James chapter 3, verse 5. Here we go. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You know, one careless word, one uncontrolled conversation can cause major destruction, as we are aware of. But just as a small spark can start a wildfire that destroys an entire forest. I mean, we saw the damage that happened in L.A. a few months back. My goodness. And they're still recovering, by the way. We're still praying for those folks. A few misplaced words can start conflicts that burn down relationships, families, dare I say it, even churches. You know, that's the thing. The ones that hurt other Christians most are other Christians. There's a verse that says, brother offended is harder to be won than a city. When a brother or sister in Christ says something to you, probably out of emotion, it's always important to be wise. Man, how deep that must cut. Depending on what it is. But let's continue on here. James chapter 3, we're going to go down to verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. That's a picture right there. Without God's help, we cannot control our tongues. They don't stop. But by the Spirit, we can choose to speak life instead of death, to edify instead of tear down. Go to Matthew chapter 12 and see what Christ said himself. Just don't have time to develop this subject here this morning. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 36, once you get there. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's a pretty serious warning by Christ himself. You know, Jesus saying here that our words eternally matter, because they're not just things that get tossed around and that's it. They are accountable before God. Which brings me back to this verse here. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. This is not a suggestion. It's a command. And it's God's heart for the people, for his people. To speak life, to build up, to encourage, to strengthen, to comfort, to be wise with our words. Because you never really know who's listening, and you never really know who needs words of encouragement, words of comfort, the most. And you might be the very voice that God is trying to use to help others. Because whether you realize it or not, your ministry and your sphere of influence goes far beyond this room. Not just those here, the people that you might work with, your extended family members, many, many, many people who your lives touch with this. I'm going to go to Colossians chapter 4. We'll wrap it up here this morning. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. There we go. Colossians chapter 4. Verse 6. This kind of wraps it all up quite nicely, I would say. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Let's read that again. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Seasoned with salt, which means your words should preserve life, because salt is a preservative, and it has been so for thousands and thousands of years before we had refrigerators and freezers and technology like that. Salt was used quite extensively to preserve food, especially in the biblical times. So seasoned with salt, which means our words should preserve life, add flavor, and prevent decay. Not harsh, not condemning, but full of grace and truth. So when we speak, let's ask ourselves these questions based on this verse here. Is it seasoned with grace? Are my words bringing life? Is what I'm going to say something that Jesus would say if he were standing right here? We often ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? But I think it's a very important question. Because the truth is, we got God and Christ in us, and he lives in us, and God speaks through us. He has no hands but our hands, and so on and so forth. I mean, on and on and on this goes. So, who knows? Maybe we'll get into a part two at some point in time. But I'm going to pray, and we'll wrap this thing up. Bless your hearts. Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for each heart here this morning that you continue to guide us and strengthen us and encourage us so that we can use our words wisely, Father God. My goodness, words are probably the most powerful thing that we possess, Father. You gave us the ability to speak. You gave us the ability to communicate. You gave us the ability to comfort one another, to strengthen each other. Our words can heal. Our words can deliver, inspire. All nine, Father, and on the list goes. And those are the things that we strive to do. Well, I thank you for each person here and on the conference call lines, Father, that we're all just edified and comforted by your word and your truth and your spirit, Father. I pray for these things in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And they all said, all right.